This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Amen. Last week, Wednesday as well, we had a very powerful message. And I just thought, you know what, let me build up from where Papa Chauki left it off. And I want us to look at the mystery of godliness. I've titled my message tonight, The Mystery of Godliness. Say to your neighbor, the mystery of godliness. So the truth is, we belong to a kingdom of mysteries. We are born into a kingdom of mysteries. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he said to them, it sounds like parables, but to us, we've been given the power to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. I want you to understand that in destiny, no one changes class in any school without passing the prescribed test to go forward. Life will always present you with tests, and every time you overcome them, you graduate to the next level. And I want you to understand that obedience is a test you must pass to move into the next level of growth and maturity in your walk with God. We are not born again to remain babies. We are born again to grow. We are born again to mature in our walk with God. Tell your neighbor, we are born again to grow and to mature. Hallelujah. Understand, every testimony you hear is people aligning themselves with the word of God. And every time they align themselves with the word of God, they commit God to confirm the word in their lives. Every time you align yourself with the word of God, you commit God to honor himself in your life. You heard the testimony of our sister right now. What a powerful testimony. That as she aligned herself to the instructions of the Holy Spirit, she committed God to honor himself in her life. Hallelujah. Understand that people subscribe to the dictate of the word, and God responds by confirming those words into testimonies. Understand that testimonies are mere confirmations of his word that has been acted upon. Therefore, you and I are not called to be just hearers of the world, but we are called to be doers of the world, of the word. Say, I am a doer of the word of God. Say, I am a doer of the word of God. Hallelujah. Listen, our lives are constantly under test, and the test is the test of obedience. Whether we know it or not, daily our lives are under test, and the test is the test of obedience. Abraham, our father in faith, was tested. Actually, if you read Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. When you look at Genesis 26 from verse 16 to 18, you see the results of his obedience. The Bible says, and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, that because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son and your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and of the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. If the Bible in your hand is yours, I want you to underline, because you have obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. There is power in obeying the instructions of God. There is power in obeying the word of God. Say, I walk in obedience. Say, I walk in obedience. Abraham passed the test, and this is, you know, what has brought us to where we are today. Today, you and I are called the sons or the seed of Abraham because he chose to obey. Actually, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It was his past that resulted in us being engrafted in. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, child of God, you can't hang around your comfort zone and expect a change of story. We want to be so comfortable with our comfort zones and we want to see change. It does not work like that. Tell your neighbor, there is a need for you to change. Say, there is a need for you to grow. Hallelujah. No one ever goes forward without taking steps. No one ever advances without taking steps. And my question to you tonight is, what are the steps that you're taking to advance? Hallelujah. There's nothing extraordinary on its own. It is man making extraordinary input that makes it so. Anywhere you see something looking extraordinary, it is because there is someone that is making an extra input to make it extraordinary. If your life is going to be extraordinary, you need to make extraordinary input as well. Hallelujah. That is why you find in the kingdom, you find that there are Christians, but they are not making imprint in life. They are not making the kind of impact that we have been given the power to make. As children of God, we've been given so much. We've been entrusted with so much. We've been anointed so much for us not to make impact. In the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 35, the Bible says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God is not a respecter of persons. Don't ever buy the lie that certain things are happening in the lives of others because they are special people. The Bible teaches us here that no matter what nation you are, no matter where you find yourself in life, if you position yourself in the walk in the fear of the Lord and walk in righteousness, the Lord is able to lift you. Hallelujah. The Lord is able to use you for the extraordinary. Understand that it is not just preachers that should experience the extraordinary. Jesus did not come for a specific people. He came for all of us. Tell your neighbor, he came for me. Say, he came for me. When we don't walk in obedience, you can be like those people who hang around the airport but have never entered a flight. If you go to the airport, there are different types of people, isn't it? There are people who are ready to go somewhere. But there are people who are also just hanging around. There are those who are working there. Do you know that there are even people who are working in the airport but have never entered a plane? They don't even know what the plane looks like inside. But they are working there. They are there day in and day out. Why have they not entered? It is because they have not paid the price to enter. Because there is a price required to enter into a flight. That is the same thing with destiny. That is the same thing with our walk with Christ. If we say, I've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, but we don't walk in obedience, when we don't honor God with our lives, we will be like those people that hang around the airport, but do not have what it takes to enter into the flight. It will not be your story in the name of Jesus. It will not be your story in the name of Jesus. Do you know that some of the people that hang around the airport, they even have information about which flight is going when and what time? They have the right information, but they have not paid the price. There are people who are even in church, they can even quote scripture from scripture to scripture, but they're not willing to yield to the scriptures that we quote. Hallelujah. Say, it will not be me. Say, it will not be me. Whatever the demands of the word are, you will meet it. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Understand that nothing of value is ever free. Nothing. Nothing of value is ever free. A valuable destiny comes at a cost. An enviable destiny comes at a cost. And I want to present to us tonight that the cost of an enviable destiny, the cost of a glorious destiny, is the cost of obedience. The Bible speaking about Jesus, it says he endured the cross because of the glory that was set before him. When we learn to carry our cross and we do our part, we are able to partake of what God has prepared for us. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 to 2, it says, "And now it shall come to pass, if you be willing, obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Hallelujah. Listen, this is your portion. It says God will set you above
love all the nations of the earth. That is God's desire for you. He says all of us are meant to be the head and none of us are meant to be the tail. Hallelujah. God's destination for you is above all the nations of the earth. He says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. But he says to us there, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Child of God, I'm here to challenge you tonight that you must wake up to pass the test of obedience for the blessing of the hour. It is the only guarantee for your change of level. It is the only guarantee for your change of level. How many of us know that I'm sick is not an excuse for you to write an exam? If you say, wake up and you say, I'm sick, they will say to you, not a problem. When you are healed, bring your sick certificate. But the exam, you must still write it. If you really want to go to the next level, you bring your certificate and you will write. And that is how it is in the kingdom of God as well. Many of us want to be promoted. We want to get to the next level. But we are not willing to grow in the little things that God expects us to grow. You will never change class until you pass the test. Child of God, don't let your 40 days journey become a 40 years journey. Don't. It is not about what we hear, but what we do about what we hear that brings the change. The question to ask yourself every day is, Jesus, what is the better approach for this remaining 6 months of the year? Because we have already seen the value of the voice of God. We have already seen the value of hearing Him and walking with Him. Therefore, ask Him, don't assume, don't treat this remaining 6 months like every other remaining 6 months of the year. Ask God. You might have started with Him in one way, but now that we are in this season of pausing and seeking His face, ask Him, what do you want me to do? How do I need to do this and that in this remaining 6 months? Walk and work with the Holy Spirit. Walk and work with Him. Glory be to Jesus. There are things He has been showing you that you need to overcome. There are areas He has been showing you that you need to grow. Walk and work with Him. Glory be to Jesus. Because there are things you will not be able to overcome on your own. It takes walking with Him. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God until God took him. You know, every time I think about that story, I want to believe that every time we walk with God, you know, we become light and we rise. I want to believe that Enoch reached a point of perfection, to the point that gravity couldn't hold him down. Say, I choose to walk with God. Hallelujah. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is the strategy of victory for this season? Hear me and hear me well. In the kingdom that we belong to, stars rise by obedience. Stars rise by obedience. And all of us are kingdom stars. Because there is an area in your life that God has ordained for you to shine. Hallelujah. I declare that no one here will fail in the name of Jesus. You will not fall and you will not fail in the name of Jesus. Child of God, every commandment of the Lord is absolutely for our benefit. Every one of them. May your crown not go to another in the name of Jesus. You will wear your crown in the name of Jesus. Understand that God requires your participation to fulfill His agenda in your life. Whatever God has ordained to fulfill in your life, He requires your participation. The Bible says in the book of Amos chapter 3, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants, the prophet. When He says His servants, the prophet there, He's not talking about a prophet that stands and prophesies over everybody. You are the prophet of your own life. Everything God shows you is so that you can participate in bringing that thing to pass. It's so that you can agree with Him. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together lest they agree? Understand, child of God, that sanctification is profitable for all things. Sanctification is profitable for all things. Tell your neighbor, sanctification is profitable for all things. Hallelujah. Understand that your inheritance demands sanctification for delivery. We all know that we have an inheritance in Christ. That is why the Bible tells us that there are things that your eyes have not seen. There are things that your ears have not heard. There are things that your mind has not conceived. But those things are prepared for you. They are your inheritance in Christ Jesus. That is why Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, he says, I pray that, you know, you will get a revelation of your inheritance. However, the delivery of that inheritance has demands on it. And that demand is a demand of sanctification. Our access to our inheritance is blocked when the fear of God is out of place. We live in a generation that doesn't even understand what it means to have the fear of God anymore. Say, I have the fear of God in me. Say, I have the fear of God in me. Hallelujah. Listen, when the quest to please God is out of place, you're in danger. There must be something in you, if not everything in you, that wants to live a life that pleases God. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. We are unique. We are wired for His glory. We walk in the fear of the Lord. Everything about our lives must honor God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 7 to 8, it says, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It says there, exercise godliness. Exercise godliness. What does it mean? It means exercise living a godly life. Say, exercise living a godly life. The word exercise there also means practice it. It means practice living a godly life. It is the path you choose in this life that will determine your eternity in grand style. When we get there, you need to, you know what? God needs to say, well done. Well done. It is profitable for the life in the now and the life in the after. Godliness is not just going to profit you after death, but it profits you in the now. When you honor God with your life now, you live a profitable life. Everything responds to you when you honor God with your life now. Understand that sanctification stands out as the most valuable asset of the believer. Why? Because it is the only virtue that adds value in life, in the afterlife. And in the afterlife. Hallelujah. It's the only virtue that, you know, gives us a profitable life here and also in the afterlife. That is why the devil is working overtime to throw even believers off track. There is an enemy on the loose that wants to make sure that as believers, we are thrown off track. Jesus said these words to Peter. He says in the book of Luke chapter 22 verse 31. He says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may throw you off balance, that he may make you look like the world when you're not of the world. Jesus asked these words. The Bible says, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith? When he's asking that question, he's not talking about faith for things. He's talking about, will he still find people that truly still call Jesus Lord for the right reasons? That still call him Lord when things are going well and when nothing is going well. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Say, I will not be thrown off balance. In verse 32, he says, but I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. He says, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. I pray for you that you will not change who you are because of what you're going through. I pray for you that no matter what, how dark it gets, you will still remain the light wherever I've put you. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Listen, we are in a battle against godliness. If you don't realize it, you will treat it lightly. There are things you will treat lightly. But we are in the dark days. The day is getting darker and darker and darker by day. And godliness is trying to blanket the earth when the word of God tells us that the glory of God is what is supposed to fill the earth. We are in a battle against God and godliness. We are in a battle against sin. And to show you that this battle is not an ordinary battle, it is a bloody battle where the enemy, where Satan is going all out. That is why our fight against sin must also be all out. This is how bloody this battle is. Let me show you in scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Do you know what it means to be ensnared? It says, and the sin that so easily ensnared us, it traps us, it brings you into bondage and hostage. It says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, you didn't choose this salvation, no. No. Just because you are the one who said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. You didn't choose yourself. He is the one that touched your heart. And when he touched your heart, you knew you needed to respond. Hallelujah. He started this journey with you not to abandon you. He started this journey with you so that he can take you to a destination. That is why he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility for the sinner against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Do you know how many people are weary and discouraged in their souls? Do you think that is ordinary? It is not. It is a battle. The enemy is working day and night to bring you to a place where you are weary in your soul, where you are discouraged, where you end up feeling like, does it even pay to live a righteous life? Does it even pay to live holy for God? That is the enemy that is targeting your soul. He says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin like Jesus did. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Listen, we have been given what is required to overcome in this blood battle. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Hallelujah. So part of how we overcome is that we engage the blood power in this bloody fight to overcome. Refuse to be bound by sin when the blood of Jesus has been shed. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. He died to cleanse us from an evil conscience. We will not walk with an evil conscience. An evil conscience is a conscience without God. An evil conscience is a conscience that has no consideration for God. It is a dead conscience. Refuse to get to a place where you find yourself doing things and not even feeling anything. Doing something wrong that you know is wrong and yet you keep doing it. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus has shed his blood for my liberation. He says, cleanse yourself, cleanse yourself. It is a continuous work. Cleanse yourself, because everything around us is targeting our conscience. Everything in our world wants to make sure that there is no difference between the believer and the non-believer. Hallelujah. Listen, while God never holds our past against us, he will truly write it off when we truly repent. There is what we call true repentance. There are two aspects to this. There is a place of confession and there's a place of repentance. Confession is when you have done something wrong. You go to your father and confess it before your father and receive the forgiveness of sin and allow the blood of Jesus to wash you. One of the things that will weaken a believer is when you do something wrong and you know you've done wrong and you don't bring it under the blood. You walk as if there is nothing. The same way that in any relationship, if you do me wrong, it's only right that we talk about it, isn't it? And we sort it out and we continue to live together. That's the same thing with your father. Don't take advantage of the fact that he's your father and you do wrong and you don't come to him and acknowledge when you've done wrong. Because the enemy will use it to bring condemnation. The enemy will use it to weaken you. Hallelujah. But when you bring it under the blood of Jesus, you break the power of the enemy to continue to afflict you. But there is another level beyond just confessing. Because sometimes a lot of people just were okay with that, I've confessed. The word repent literally means make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. There are things that you need to make a U-turn. That God, I'm not going back there anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. And I receive the grace to live a life that honors you. When David sinned, God confronted him direct. And he asked him, David, what did you do? And when David acknowledged that he was the one who did it, the Bible says he repented in sackcloth and in ashes. And God wrote it off. So there needs to be, you know, not the kind of repentance because you want to pray, you're hoping that if you just say it, then God will. No. It's you making a quality decision to walk away from certain things. Glory be to Jesus. Child of God, salvation is a very delicate journey. Believe me. It is a very delicate journey. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 from verse 20 to 24. It says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn away from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, he shall live. Shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of his unfaithfulness of which he is guilty. And the sin which he has committed, because of them, he shall die. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And thanks be to God. Because God knew that we couldn't rescue ourselves. He sent us Jesus so that we should not remain in this state. This is not God's will for us. Death is not God's will for us. Life is God's will for us. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Understand that we are on a marathon race. When we're growing up, we sang that song. There is a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Hallelujah. Give me power every hour to be true. Give me power every hour to be true, God. Hallelujah. May we all receive help to remain worthy of our election and calling in the name of Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Listen, I used to be, or I was, does not count with God.
Some of us are still counting on how we used to live a life that honored God. But the question is, where are we now? How is our walk with God now? How is your relationship with God now? Hallelujah. Say, he's the now God. Say, he's the now God. Hallelujah. There are two mysteries in scriptures, and they are all very illustrative. If you read the Bible, you will find that there is a mystery of iniquity, and there is a mystery of godliness. I want us to start with the mystery of iniquity.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7.
It says, for the mystery of iniquity does work already. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken. Amen. Another translation says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work.
Hallelujah.
There's what we call the mystery of lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. It is a mystery that is at work strongly in our generation, where people have no regard for the word of God, where you see things that even you, it blows your mind.
Hallelujah.
Where people, you know, there's no fear of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It can work in a person, it can work in a family, it can work in an environment. Haven't you been to places where all of a sudden you feel like you start responding to the mystery that is operating there? All of a sudden you feel the desire to compromise. All of a sudden you feel lustful. All of a sudden you feel, you know, you feel like doing things that on a normal day you know it's not you. It is because on that territory there is a mystery of iniquity that is at work. That is why the mystery of godliness must be strong in you, to the point that even if you find yourself in a certain space, it does not influence you. You become a light wherever you are. That is why when our children are not properly armed, they live here, you know, we know who they are, they know who they are, and all of a sudden they get to places in school, they come under that influence. All of a sudden the child has an identity crisis. Because they have come under that environment of the mystery of iniquity. Because that mystery is operating over that territory and it is strong. So that's the first mystery. I want you to understand that the agenda of the mystery of iniquity is to get us out of the way. Actually, the Bible says in where we read, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. So it's a mystery that is constantly at work. It says, only to he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Hallelujah.
So its agenda is to get us out of the back of Christ.
Its agenda is to stop us from following Christ.
Hallelujah.
Its agenda is to make us like the world. Its agenda is to get us out of the faith. Haven't you heard people that, you know, you knew they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, but all of a sudden they are like, I think there's another way to Jesus, to God. All of a sudden they are not sure that Jesus is the only way. It is because there is a mystery of iniquity that they have opened their heart to.
Hallelujah.
It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. And then there is the mystery of godliness. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory.
Hallelujah.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I love the mystery of godliness. It is greater than the mystery of iniquity. Where it says iniquity, it didn't say anything great about it. But when it comes to godliness, it says great is the mystery of godliness. Listen, there are things that psychology cannot psychology it. Do you hear what I'm saying? There are things that will take the mystery of godliness to deal with it. No amount of counsel. I'm a counselor myself. I sit daily. And I know that the power of God to help is there. So I'm not against you people going for counseling. Get me and get me right. There are things that it will take the mystery of godliness to swallow it. I remember how a long time ago, I sat with a young lady that said, I was told a lie about how to heal the disease in my body. I was told that if I sleep with every man, I'll get healed. And by that, a door was opened. And she said, I'll just find people standing and I'll just grab and they'll sleep with them. Because that mystery of ungodliness was activated to a point that she could not control herself. But by the power of the mystery of godliness, it was swallowed. Listen, you can't psychology that. You can't cancel it out. It takes the power of God to swallow it and bring a change. Hallelujah. The Bible says it is a great mystery. The great mystery of godliness will swallow up the mystery of iniquity as if it never existed. The same way that you see in Exodus chapter 7 from verse 10 to 12. The Bible says Moses, threw his rod and it became a serpent. And the enemy also threw their rods and it became serpent. But because the rod of Moses was greater, it swallowed the other rods. I don't know what it is that you're battling with. I don't know which law has been operating in your life. But today I come by the law of life and spirit. And I declare everything that is not of God in you be swallowed by the mystery of godliness. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus frees us from dead works. It frees us. It cleanses us from the inside out. Hallelujah. The Bible says it is not what comes from the outside that defiles a man. It is what comes from his inside that defiles him. Hallelujah. There are things that, the power, the mystery of godliness must begin to do in your heart. Uproot that hatred. It is not of God for a child of God to say, I hate. Do you hear me? It is not of God to say, I hate. Because God and hate can never be found on the same realm. Never. Hallelujah. You may be offended, you may be hurt, but you can't. Don't allow yourself to get into the realm of hate. Hallelujah. Because it is not the realm of God. It cleanses our thoughts. It cleanses our desires and our appetites. When we have the mystery of godliness, we do not yield to our appetites. Because all of us at one point or another will have ungodly appetites. Just because I desire ice cream does not mean I must eat it. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have been given the power to say no. We have that power in us. Glory be to Jesus. No matter how beautiful it looks, because you know who lives in you. You know who you are. You refuse to bow to it. You declare that my appetite will not define who I am. Because many of us, especially in the day we live in, many of us are driven by our appetites. Because there is a word we have not heard yet, and that word is called surrender. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to God. Listen, the target of the mystery of iniquity is on your mind, it's on your intellect, and it's on your soul. If he targets your belief system, you're gone. If he targets your belief system and you yield to it, you're gone. Once you believe that polygamy is right, it doesn't matter what we tell you. Because now he has gone into your belief system. It's African tradition, as we call it. You believe that it is right. You're sold to it. You will fight just to secure it. It will take you seeing yourself through the eyes of Jesus Christ to see that this is wrong. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. If you are sold in your belief system that it is okay to have sex outside of marriage, you're already gone. Because you will find every reason to justify it. And just because your appetite tells you, my body is saying, no. No. You need to know who you are. Know what God is saying to you. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, it says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. This is in the New Testament. He says, come out from among them. There are things that God has been speaking to you direct. He's saying, come out, come out, come out. You've been postponing it, and you're expecting that same God to do certain things. He's like, there's a test you must pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am not all-knowing. I can look at you by the flesh and promote you. But he's all-knowing. That is why promotion does not come from men. It comes from the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Listen, you have been given dominion over sin. Say, I have dominion over sin. God has ordained you for liberty. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace, for the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages are not made known in the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. He says, when you read, one of the ways to activate the mystery of godliness is be a reader of the word of God. Hallelujah. I want to give an assignment for all of us. This week and next week, we are all reading 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Read it and see how God will shock you in some of the things you have been holding on to that you should not be holding on to. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. I just want to run quickly. The five benefits of sanctification. I will rush through them. Number one, sanctification triggers favor. Sanctification triggers favor. Tell your neighbor, sanctification triggers favor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let me stop here. I want to believe that God has taught us something tonight. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet as we thank God for his word. Lift up your hands to heaven.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.